You are now listening to the Worship Podcast of Open Table Metropolitan Community Church.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Just search Open Table MCC.
You can also follow us on Instagram at opentablemcc.ph.
And of course, you can visit our website, www.opentablemcc.ph, for resources on Holy Union, Sunday worship services, and other events.
Bukas ang hapag para sa lahat. Join our worship service every Sunday at 4 p.m. at NCCB EDSA. It's right across the Quezon Avenue MRT station.
So our reading is from Psalms chapter 42, verse 1 to 5. As the deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in the procession to the house of God. With glad shouts of songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my help and my God. Sisters and brothers, this is the word of God for the people of God. So, what was our sermon last week? What was our preaching lesson last week, if you remember? Or at least the title.
Loving others ethically.
And ano ang gist? Ano naman ang, siyempre iba-iba ang nag-grasp ng bawat isa. No? So, ano ang for you? Ano ang gist ng lesson last week? Yeah. Well, that's the topic of the entire series. Actually, the entire Bible. Love God. No, I'll revert it. Love others as you love yourself is the only way to love God. Everything else is commentary. Everything else is commentary. What else? Pero hindi yun yung specific lesson last week eh. What do you remember from last week? Wala?
Loving others.
Loving others. So, paano ang... What do we mean by loving others ethically?
We want to be able to save everyone.
Yeah. Wow, nagno-note siya. Like the very good evangelical that from her tradition. You know, they take notes. Diba? And especially from the old Protestants. The older Protestants actually take notebook. They have a notebook. They actually write the sermon of the pastor. You know, especially in the provinces. It still happens even today. So our sermon today is about prayer as a form of care. Our title is actually Care to Pray. Care and Pray. Care as Prayer. Okay. So, prayer is essential. Prayer is essential in our life, ministry, and identity as followers of the one who taught us to pray. Jesus himself prayed often, as the scripture said. Mababa yung ano? Magkasakit ako. Jesus himself prayed often, as the scripture said, And on the night before he was to suffer and die, nung gabing yon, the night before Jesus was to die, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his followers and he prayed. Sabi niya pa nga kay Peter, dun sa tatlo, Peter, James, and John, can you not stay awake with me just for 1 hour? Sabi niya. He prayed. You know, many instances in scripture we read, we hear that Jesus himself prayed. Prayer is more than just making a petition to God. And more than just thanking God for what we may label as answered prayers. So, certainly, petition is the basic form of prayer. No, to ask God is the basic form and basic understanding of prayer. However, as we grow in our faith, we must grow beyond petition. And we must mature to the idea that God is not a genie in the bottle. I'm not saying that we no longer ask God. Certainly, we petition is part of prayer. I'm not saying that we should reject asking God for our concerns, our desires. However, asking at some point in one's spiritual life, petition transitions from specifically asking for things to surrendering things. Hindi ka na lang yung Lord, sana bigyan niyo po ako ng ganito, Lord, sana po ganito. Darating siya sa punto, if you are really serious with your prayer life, kahit pa nga hindi spiritual life eh, prayer life lang. If you really are intentional with your prayer life, it should transition to, Lord, you know, I'm too tired. Can you just, I am just offering all of these things to you. It must transition to that, the next phase of prayer. Instead of frequently asking for specific things, it would be to surrender specific concerns and peoples, then surrendering our national issues, our global issues. But then, after surrendering, it comes to what we call a saturation point. Prayer becomes dry. And there are times that it becomes very depressing to pray. It becomes very depressing to come to the presence of God and offer all your concerns, surrender all your concerns, all the heartaches, and even at that point, it is as if nothing is to be thankful for. Prayer and the spiritual life becomes dry. Because of this, many Christians, actually not just Christians, people of faith, even other faiths, they tend to draw away, no? To draw away from prayer. Wag nang magdasal. And by extension, to draw away from community and worship. Kaya maraming akong kilala, friends, family na hindi na nagsisimba. Regardless of kung saan man silang denomination or simbahan, no? There are also periods and times when pastors and priests suddenly do not want to be priests, do not want to be pastor. Kaya nga there are pastors and priests who suddenly out of many years of ministry becomes atheists. But there are also atheists who having been atheists for so many years suddenly wants to enter the priesthood or to be a pastor, suddenly na-convert. No? Nagkaroon sila ng heartwarming experience. Some would cave in and draw away umalis, no? Reject any religious activity. The irony of it is that the moments of dryness in prayer and faith are actually signs of spiritual maturity. Because it is a spiritual and social crossroad. Nasa isang crossroad ka of whether you persist with your Christian commitment or you give up and go on your way, on your individual way, and you just say to yourself, naku, wala nang pag-asa. There's no hope. No, mag-enjoy na lang ako sa buhay ko. Total, wala namang mangyayari, wala namang pagbabagong mangyayari. What the heck? Dumarating talaga sa isang person of faith ang kinatawag na spiritual crossroads. Prayer is a powerful method of self-care and awareness. So balik tayo sa self-care, no? I mean, the first preaching of the month was about self-care. Prayer is a powerful method of self-care and awareness because it forces you to confront yourself, your real self, before the sacred silence of God. I mean, you are alone in your room or maybe in a chapel, and then you close your eyes before the presence of God. There comes a point, I don't know if you have experienced it, if you haven't, I hope you someday you'll experience it, when you don't want to pray because suddenly your life flashes before you. No, and it suddenly becomes so difficult to pray. And you don't want to pray because you are being confronted with the darkest, deepest, darkest part of yourself. The demons of your inner self. Not literal demons, lest I be misquoted. No, but those dark parts of yourself. You are forced to deal with all of your brokenness and imperfection and weakness. Some would be confronted with the overwhelming suffering of the world. Yan ang nangyayari sa mga some pastor, some priest, some activist, even in the church, would suddenly no longer want to pray because when they pray, the suffering of the world suddenly overwhelms them. How can there be a good God when there is so much evil in the world? Some would be confronted with that and therefore have feelings of despair and even anger against God. Some would be confronted with the dark and hurtful memories of the past. But some people would don't want to pray because suddenly they are reminded by some terrible memory. Or sometimes the simplest of things. You know, I tried this, yung Jesuit spirituality, tinatawag nila, one of many Jesuit spirituals, yung tinatawag nilang examine. And that's actually what we do, I mean, in the first part of the prayer. Each day, when you pray to God, a reflective prayer, you ask, what are you thankful for the day? And then what are you sorry for and what could you have done better? And that's quite difficult. Because you are then, when you suddenly reminded of you did something that you shouldn't have done, would I be able not to do it tomorrow? Ang hirap. And then when you pray again tomorrow, oh shit, I did it again. You are constantly reminded that you are not becoming a better person. You know, as much as you want to. Ang hirap ng prayer, actually. Prayer that grows, that's no longer just about petition. You know, when suddenly when you pray, you remember na kaninang umaga sinagot-sagot mo ang nanay mo. And suddenly you are confronted with the presence of God and say, okay, I shouldn't have done that. And that's the most, and that's common to almost all humans because it's difficult to own up, to admit that we have done wrong, that we will justify our actions. True self-care is that which helps us confront. Ito at ang tunay na self-care is that which helps us to confront, process, and deal with the darkest part of who we are and the dysfunctional ways we treat our relationship and others in the world. Prayer does this. God does this in prayer. That's why the book of Psalms have been prayed and reflected upon for 2,000 or more years by both Jews and Christians. Kasi yung Psalms, in the book of Psalms, if you read it cover to cover, the book of Psalms has all human emotions in it. The prayer of a thankful heart, the prayer of a person who is so angry, he is asking God, can you kill my enemy? It's in the text. It's in Psalms. People are actually praying for their enemy for God to punish. And there are parts of scripture where they feel that God is punishing them. So they're anguishing with God. God, please, take away my sin and punish me no longer. Why are you deaf to my prayers? Why do you not listen to my prayers? If you read the entirety of Psalms, that's why for so many years, even today, the Psalms is being prayed every single day by the monks. Yan yung dasal eh. You know what monks pray? Depende sa order nila. Some pray 3 times a day, some 7 times a day. And what they pray is actually the Psalms. What they chant about is the Psalms. Because in prayer, again, it confronts you. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, in her diaries, experienced the dark night of the soul until her death. The Psalms, and then the book of Job, we are able to read a wealth of emotion, of human condition. Lalo na yung kay Job. Yung kay Job, actually, the book of Job is a reaction against the book of Proverbs. It's a counter argument against Proverbs. Because Proverbs tells you, if you do good, God will bless you. If you're a good person, God will bless you. But the book of Job says, even if you are a good person, shit happens in your life. Diba? You know the story of Job? You know the story of Job? Even if you are the most holy person, shit will happen to you and God will allow shit to happen in your life. No? And trivia lang to about Job. And everybody said to Job, maybe you did something wrong. So confess your sin to God. But Job argues, I don't know what I did. I was faithful. I did everything the Lord commanded. And so at the end of Job, Job is justifying himself to God. Sinusumplong niya actually ang Diyos. Na, tell me what did I do to justify this suffering? Of course, God did not answer. And God only said, sino ka para questionin ako? One of the things. Yeah. And the curious thing about Job, the only person, the wife of Job, told Job, curse the Lord. Get angry with God. Confront God for all these misfortunes. Pero did God get angry with the wife? Did God punish the wife? No. That tells us that it is okay to actually confront God. In your deepest, darkest time. So, balik ako kay Mother Teresa. Tumalong kasi ako kanina. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, in her diaries, experienced the dark night of the soul until her death. She felt the absence and silence of God. And there were times in her diary that she was angry with God. But she also mentions that she persisted in prayer regardless. Kaya some Catholic theologians would argue that she is the greatest mystic of our time. Because it's easy to pray and to praise God when you feel good about God. But how can you pray when you feel the absence of God in your life? Diba? So it's a very, sabi nila, the most profound spirituality in modern times is that of Mother Teresa, who prayed even up to her death, she was depressed with God. Many of the great mystics and contemplatives of the church prayed anyway because they knew and experienced and felt that the more you doubt and the more that you are angry with God, the more you need to draw closer to the presence of God, even if it doesn't feel that way. As much as prayer sometimes becomes dry and depressing, it is also that which helps many to grow and to learn. Also, sometimes comfort and solace in their despair, in the despair of the mystics for the sufferings in the world, prayer compels people to act and do something about the suffering in the world. Yung professor ko sa liturgy, si Dr. Anna Skagersten, and she visited the church. I don't know, you were not there. And she played music. I was a yellow room, you know. She's a doctor of music and a doctor of liturgical theology. She's Swedish, no? Taga Sweden. And she says that, well, sa klase namin, at sa kanya mismong buhay, no? She says that she is very careful to offer prayer to someone. Because she believes that if I do pray for you, I need to do something to participate in that prayer. So I will, for example, if I say, may sakit, I pray that you have healing and etc. She has to actually visit the person. Or give medicine or whatever, you know. So she is careful to offer prayer to someone because if I offer prayer to someone all the time, I need to enact that prayer also. You know, and that is her life. She believed in the Latin word ora et labora, prayer and work. No, so she did not just worship on Sunday, she did not just pray for people and for the issues of the world, but nandito siya sa Philippines for 10 years, or about 10-12 years. She went to far-flung places. No, she did community work. She learned our language. Oh, many times. She got arrested, almost got arrested, only because she is white. That's why she does not get arrested, and because she is from Sweden. But she almost got arrested and deported each time. So she went to far-flung places, she went to communities, really lived with them, did something for them, gave, yeah, because she's from the Church of Sweden, they have a lot of money, so she gives money. But aside from money, she was really there for them. She went to prisons to visit political prisoners. And not just visit, she will go there, bring a medical team, bring a chaplains. Yung pastoral care and counseling ni Pastora Kakay was with her when they went to the different prisons in Rizal. And so her life is a living prayer. She prayed as she did, and she did as she prayed. Sabako. Yan. But certainly, here. The sickness of us Christians, itong sakit nating mga Kristiyano, related to that. Our sickness is to use, I will pray for you. I will pray for you as an escape, as a scapegoat, to not do anything for those in need. Worse, when we say we will pray for someone, we just say it. We don't actually pray for them at all. Talagang sasabihin lang natin for the sake of, okay, I will pray for you. Pero 5 minutes after, you have already forgotten. And that you actually do not pray for that person, that group, or, you know. We make, I will pray for you as an excuse. As if that is already enough. Let our Christian commitment, you know what is faith in the understanding, in the biblical understanding? From the Jews to the Christians, the word faith is actually not an intellectual. Kasi pag sinabi mong faith, ang papasok sa isip natin, I believe. Mamaya, meron tayong MCC statement of faith, di ba? I believe. Yan ang ano natin sa faith eh. Yung intellectual acceptance of an idea. But actually, faith in the biblical understanding means commitment. Commitment. So our Christian commitment compels us to pray and to act. For scripture tells us in the book of James, what can a word of faith do to a hungry stomach? Nothing. Let your faith and your prayer, according to James, be expressed in what you do for the least of your sisters and brothers. Also, I recognize, nire-recognize din naman natin, and we do not deny that there are indeed situations and persons where the only thing you can ever do to care is simply to pray for them. Meron naman talaga mga sitwasyon na ang magagawa mo na lamang ay magdasal. So we recognize that. Sometimes we shall be confronted by times, situations, issues, and people that all we can just do is to fall on our knees and pray with and for them. There is nothing else to be done. When a friend or a colleague or someone you know committed suicide, there is nothing you can do. The person is dead. Other than to pray for the dead and the family that are grieving. For issues and concerns in conflict areas in the world, yung kanina, di ba? Palestine, Syria, and places in Africa, what can we do? Di ba? What are you left often to do is to pray for them sincerely. Or perhaps some people, what they would do is to write the government of that country and the United Nations, or even Pope Francis, to write, write and let them know that there are people who actually are concerned about these places of conflict. There are human tragedies and conditions that the only thing we can do is to hold each other's hands or embrace each other and pray. Even amongst the poor, the oppressed, the peasant laborers, farmers, indigenous peoples, the presence of a priest or a pastor and a collective or community prayer for their cause gives a huge amount of encouragement and hope in their centuries old of struggles for justice and peace. Kaya sometimes sa seminaryo, ini-invite kami to go to a picket line. Ang napuntaan ko yung sa Tanduay dito sa may Santa Rosa yata. Santa Rosa ba? Tanduay, picket line ng mga tinanggal ng mga trabahador. And we were asked in seminary to do a service for them. And I was specifically the one chosen to do the service kasi siyempre, theologically speaking and spiritually speaking, meron pa rin silang idea that the pastor or the priest is male. So to bring out some, to have that encouragement and hope, so I had to be the one to do the service. And it gives them that added courage and strength. So meron pa ring silbi. The rituals and prayers of the church still has their relevance. The sacraments and rituals of the church and the community remains to be relevant and useful for encouragement, hope, and to muster courage for people whose only hope is God. To hold a friend's hand and utter a prayer for their well-being, an act of care and encouragement. To hold appropriately a stranger's hand and to pray for them is certainly one concrete way to care for them and encourage them. It also encourages you as you feel the grace of God channeled over you as you pray for someone else. For partners, mga magjujuwa, to hold each other's hands and to pray for each other, no, verbally, pray for your partner, gives reassurance, encouragement, and makes, you know, sometimes that feeling of love more real in those moments that you, bago kayo matulog, maghahawak kamay kayo, Lord, to kung partner ko, when you actually pray for your partner, and then your partner prays for you. Before eating. Lord. Oo nga.
Ano partner?
Baka hindi pa sila ready sa ganun. Ano? Theology. Oo. May matisod. But that's also something that you can do. Prayer is one concrete act of care for those we love and for those who are in greatest need. And again, prayer compels us to do something about prayer and beyond that prayer. Tapos na ang sermon. In Christian community that truly cares, in a Christian community that truly cares, prayer is a central and significant component of our relationships, community building, and ministry outreach. In some denominations, minsan sa ibang simbahan, it is a specific ministry. Ayun na sa Pentecostal yata, no? It is a specific ministry and people are trained and taught to do public and personal prayer. May training, prayer warriors. May training to be a prayer, ano ni ko bet yung warrior? A prayer encourager or
prayer
something.
Minister.
Prayer minister. The church as a praying and worshiping community is what sets it apart as a community of faith. That's why you notice, sa atin. That's why you notice for the past 2 years when we didn't care, when we didn't care and didn't give a damn, our prayer life and a spirit of prayer also felt lacking. The community was dry. Tigang ba? Tigang spiritually. A Christian community cares and prays. It goes together along with many other things. Yes, as I have said, periods of dryness in prayer and spirituality are signs and also opportunity for spiritual growth and maturity. As we focus in cultivating our intentional care for one another in this community and in our personal lives, our intentional care for the outside world, we must at the same time recognize and go back to cultivating a sense of prayer. Prayer to care for ourselves, prayer as a means to care for others, and our concrete ways of care as a living form of prayer. In everything we are and grow to be, in our gifts and in our brokenness, in all of life's sufferings and joys, in tears and in laughter, in your individual lives and in our community life, in our service, ministry, and care, even in the darkest and despairing moments, may we never abandon prayer. And in it, always keep ourselves in the presence of the one who taught us to pray. I repeat, may we never abandon prayer. And in it, in prayer, may we always keep ourselves in the presence of the one who taught us to pray. And we say, Amen.